The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Two Voices, Ego and Spirit. Your hosts are Dr. Nick and Reverend Linda Martin. Today's program is designed to help you recognize how these two voices contrast each other, but can ultimately work together to help you create the best life ever. It all starts by recognizing which voice you are hearing. Now, here is Dr. Nick and Reverend Linda Martin.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you happen to be. I'm Dr. Nick Martin.
Hello, I'm Reverend Linda Martin, and we're so happy you've chosen to join us today for our program, Two Voices, Ego and Spirit. The concept of our show each and every week is about raising awareness of our own two voices.
Two voices, which are the main energies giving shape to our thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and physical experiences.
Two voices we often cannot hear because we are asleep egoically and spiritually.
Two voices we can come to recognize within the mirror of our life.
Two voices we can bring into harmony with our own voice as we hear more of what they are telling us about ourselves and God.
Two voices which can lead you to you, that better version of yourself which awaits in everyone.
Thank you for joining us today. Our topic today is the suffering and survival of egoic imbalance, an interesting topic. And what we want to talk about today is the suffering that we may be experiencing within our lives. Can you see suffering occurring within your life, within your relationships, your work, even your emotions? And do you think that this is how life was meant to be? That suffering is just a natural part of life? Or do you know that you were meant to live a joyous life? But the energy of suffering may be getting in your way from experiencing the joy and happiness you deserve.
Lindy, I was reflecting upon our program and in our preparation, and I couldn't help but think about the words and wisdom of the Buddha. There are a number of parallels between our work and our vision and his wisdom and his message that I want to mention just before we get started with our discussion about the suffering and survival of egoic imbalance. Buddha's message began with the notion and the pronouncement that all is suffering. And when you think about those three words, pretty pervasive, pretty concise, pretty impactful, a statement that we see mirroring in our own discussion of the diverse ways that suffering occurs within our life owing to an imbalanced egoic energy, an imbalance that often happens, a suffering manifested often in the words and the thoughts and the behaviors and the physical experiences that we often encounter or display while living within the 10 key life areas.
I think it's important that, we, you know, as we are talking about this, that our listeners understand that the suffering we are talking about usually comes through living through the egoic energy unconsciously, and that how we can get very caught up in some of the beliefs and ideas and things that we look at as our reality when we are living through this energy and not allowing our awareness to move into a higher perspective, the greater picture of things.
Well, that's interesting what you just said there, because it's one of those things for many people. I know myself included many years ago before working through transformation that I would not have recognized mm-hmm. some of the actions and the thoughts that I was preoccupied with as reflective of suffering. I would have just thought of them as just how I am. This is who I am. This is who I will always be. And without the notion that they, in fact, were actually a variation of suffering unique to myself and my egoic energy.
That's so important because I think everybody, to some degree, carries around thoughts and beliefs within them. And some of these thoughts and beliefs may have a fear-based foundation. It's that awareness that leads us to healing, to transformation. And as you said, you know, and I think both of us, you know, many years ago lived life in, you know, taking care of things, getting things done, moving through our daily routine, you know, just doing what we thought life was supposed to be about. And yes, these things need to be done, but that's not the end all be all of life. And when we can really take a look within ourselves and raise our awareness, it really helps to open our eyes to what's going on and who we really are. And that in itself is the first step in ending the suffering we may be experiencing.
One of the another one of the interesting and things that Buddha had said was that I have taught one thing and one thing only, dukkha, and the cessation of dukkha. For those who may not be familiar, the term dukkha refers to suffering. So within that one statement, Buddha is saying that his whole message, his whole work, his whole effort was about our ability to bring forth an awareness of the suffering that we as humans often live and to move beyond that suffering toward its end, an ultimately positive message.
Mm-hmm. Very, very much so. And I think another thing I want to touch upon is in the process of awakening to the suffering, when we awaken to the suffering we may be experiencing, and we will get into what this really means as we move through our show, you're also having the opportunity to awaken to your light within you, this divine light each and every one of us has. But this can be a little overwhelming for some people when they're moving through this process of transformation. And awakening to your own light is what helps you to see with clarity.
The parallel I see within that statement by Buddha and our own work in the vision and message deals with our discussion of our movement and the possibility of our movement from the suffering often known within the egoic imbalance and unconsciousness that many people live as a result of beginning to hear more of what our two voices, both the egoic voice and the energy that it is mm-hmm. within our being, as well as our the voice of spirit, the God within our being, and how if we move forward along that path of consciousness and become more deeply connected to both human truth and divine truth, that the process of moving forward and the cessation of what Buddha would refer to as dukkha, or in the modern world today, suffering, would occur.
Right. And this is a perfect example of awakening to your egoic energy and awakening to your divinity, what we're just talking about now, because it's within this egoic energy that the suffering would be occurring. Once you awaken to this energy of suffering within you and see how you can move through the process of healing it, this helps you to create a more balanced energy within you, human energy, that you can use instead of having this energy work against you.
Something I want you to mention or talk about, with something we talked about yesterday in reference to our program dealing with the notion that ego as an energy was something that they many years ago had a sense of, although
right.
they didn't have a specific word.
Well, it's, I think many masters, you know, before us, as you'd mentioned, we're talking about Buddha for one, but many of the masters understood how it's us that gets in the way. They may not have known the word ego, the understanding of the ego completely as we do now, but it was this reference towards our humanness that got in the way of us awakening to our divinity.
I think that's an important idea because it links us with those masters from the past,
right.
Whether it would be Buddha speaking about self and matters relating to self and the non-self, or whether it was Jesus in the various ways he spoke about humanity. In fact, I know in our last chapter of Ego and Spirituality, the chapter that says that it's entitled Ego Spiritualism in Jesus, we look at a lot of the quotations in the Bible and where Jesus was speaking and how we can see in his words and his thoughts the idea that egoic energy was really what we think what he was speaking to, and how we as humans had to transcend those issues within our humanity to ultimately know and live our divinity.
Right. In our book, Ego and Spirituality, we refer to the self, the egoic self with the small s, the divine self with the capital S, because it's this awareness of the two selves that need to merge together for this wholeness within each one of us. And we did see so much of Jesus's message, you know, when he was here as a human, from what we know of it, is talking about this energy. Again, even though the word ego wasn't known at that time, it was this implication of the human energy within us that gets in our way from knowing who we really are.
I just want to add one more significant person who also spoke to what we believe was ego, and that was Muhammad, and with the use of the term jihad. Most people think of jihad in terms of the need or desire to try to represent God. But another interpretation or understanding of that meaning was the struggle against oneself, and that what Muhammad was speaking about had to do with we struggle against ourself, that that's as large of an undertaking as the former and so that struggle against oneself is what we understand really the struggle with our ego and how to work with it and to live with it in a healthier way than what often does happen. Something else that when I was reflecting upon the words and wisdom of Buddha was his discussion of the different kinds of suffering that we may engage in. And he referred to three specific types, one referred to as dukkha, which is what he referred to as the obvious suffering that we often encounter in the physical or mental experiences that we have. And I think that probably is the type of suffering when people hear the word suffering that they connect to. And maybe, unfortunately, in some respects, is the only one that they can really understand or know. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But he also talked about viparinama dukkha, which is another form of suffering. And this suffering deals more with the issue of dealing with change and how often we as humans have a difficult time in our awareness, in our ability to deal effectively with change. I know this is one of the key life areas that we discuss in our books, need to work with and healthily respond to change and manage it rather than to resist it or try to undo it or to avoid it or to ignore it, which is sometimes what people have a difficult time to doing, often rooted in the egoic energy mm-hmm. that they may be living.
Right.
One other form of suffering that I want to mention that he spoke to about was sankhara dukkha, and another form of suffering and probably a more subtle suffering that people are not recognizing but yet still impactful, which is a suffering due to conditioned states, that it's a suffering that's caused based on illusions about the nature of objects or the nature of oneself. When I hear the word illusions being put forward in that description, I think about our discussion of illusions of unworthiness and separation and inequality and so on within our books, that those are the types of illusions that often come into being or begin to be utilized when our egoic energy is imbalanced, and they lead us into further and further suffering and often the need to survive rather than to actually live.
Right. All of these that you mentioned are very important, and we do discuss a lot of these things within our books. And you can learn more about our books and get our books. You can go to our website, egoandspirituality.com, to learn more about this message. And we're going to really look into these three areas that you discussed and more when we come back from our break. So we thank you for listening to Two Voices, Ego and Spirit. This is Reverend Linda and Dr. Nick Martin.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Many of us are trying to move forward on our life path, both humanly and spiritually. No matter who we are, we all face a significant obstacle, our ego. Dr. Nick and Reverend Linda Martin will assist you on your life path through their books, Ego and Spirituality, The Consciousness of Ego Spiritualism, The Ego Unmasked, Meeting the Greatest Challenge of Your Life, and their forthcoming book, Two Voices, Ego and Spirit. Visit their websites at egoandspirituality.com. and theegounmasked.com to learn more. You can also schedule an appointment with Reverend Linda for spiritual life coaching sessions, intuitive spiritual counseling, and spiritual healing. Contact Linda by going to lindammartin.net. You are worthy and deserving of living the life you were created to live. The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change. You are listening to Two Voices. If you would like to connect with the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to spiritualawakening777@comcast.net. Now, back to Two Voices, Ego and Spirit.
Welcome back to Two Voices. Our topic today, again, is the suffering and survival of egoic imbalance. Prior to the break, we were discussing the words and wisdom of Buddha and some of the parallels between his thoughts and his wisdom and what we within our vision and message in a 22nd century existence and world are trying to bring forward that in some respects parallels what Buddha was speaking to. And two other things that I reflect upon here is that Buddha talked about four noble truths, and each of these truths had some linkage again to the idea of suffering. And specifically they were the truth of suffering, which is, I guess, his identification of the depth and breadth of suffering that often is existent, even though we may not be fully aware of it. The truth of the arising of suffering in Buddha's effort to help us understand and awaken, to explain more to us what it is, where does this suffering come from. In our own work, in our own discussion, we talk about this in terms specifically of how the egoic imbalance, the nature of that energy at work in its own way, comes into our being and helps us, is trying to help us to survive, although ultimately it oftentimes leads us into suffering. As we said many programs ago, ego doesn't have an awareness of itself. It doesn't have an awareness of God. Its purpose is to help us to survive, and sometimes it begins to work overtime when the egoic energy is imbalanced, and we get into some of the various roles that we'll be talking about a little bit later that speak to the suffering that may be more familiar to you as we talk about the different roles. He also talked about a noble truth of the cessation of suffering, and that we can bring about the end to this suffering. It wasn't something that we had to stay within or live within, that suffering could end. Again, our efforts and our work is focused on our ability to awaken to this egoic energy that we all live with the use of mental medicine, as well as hearing the voice of spirit, hearing the voice of ego more clearly and how it's operating within our lives, as well as beginning to recognize the voice of spirit and the divine truths that the voice of spirit is trying to impart to us that we are missing, oftentimes because we are egoically unconscious and consumed with egoic imbalance that makes hearing that voice very difficult. And the last noble truth he spoke to was the truth of the path that leads to the cessation of suffering. In our work, the path is the movement from egoic unconsciousness into egoic consciousness, and then beyond that into ego spiritualism as we continue to awaken more fully, both egoically and spiritually. And then ultimately, this leads to the transcendence of complete spiritual consciousness. Mm-hmm. I think
understanding that the role of the ego is helping us to survive, and really coming to know what this means and how the ego may be working with you, can really be a great step in coming to see how you are moving through your life. Are you just living your life to survive? And if so, this may be where a lot of suffering is occurring. But again, you may be holding on to issues, anger, guilt, many things that can be causing suffering within your life. And, you know, you're just kind of accepting it as being who you are, or this is how life is, and it doesn't need to be that way.
The ultimate or the last idea that that I want to mention pertaining to Buddha and his parallel or our parallel to his work and thoughts and wisdom had to do with that his message, always suffering, wasn't intended to be a pessimistic or negative or dark view of ourselves or of life. Mm-hmm. In fact, ultimately, it really is a positive message. It's a net message that says that we have the ability and we can learn and we can come to a consciousness and an awareness of this suffering from which we can move beyond, that it could end. But if we fail to do that, then we will probably stay in that place of suffering within our lives. I know many years ago, if you'd have presented that statement to me, always suffering, when I was more egoically unconscious and egoically imbalanced, my instant reaction probably would have been, gee, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. And I would not have understood it. Mm-hmm. I would have been coming at it from that egoically unconscious perspective. Now, despite the fact that I was and has, I've always been a good, intelligent, and well-meaning person, I still wouldn't have got it. And I think that's what maybe happens for a lot of people, that it's difficult to see the positiveness inherent within that message, because it's taken as a dark message, a pessimistic message. And for many people, it may lead them to want to keep themselves at a distance from the message, because again, it doesn't sound particularly enjoyable or pleasurable, or maybe even consistent with a life that they know, a life in which they think there isn't any suffering going on, when in fact there may be, and it's suffering that if they could work with and handle more directly that and awaken to, would ultimately lead them into a higher and better place than the one they're in right now.
Right. And I think, you know, as we talk about our own experiences and our own growth and transformation, I'm sure many people can relate to this, because when we look at, say, our lives in the past, you know, we both went through a lot of growth through our marriage of 35 years and understanding about ourselves. And, you know, there, as you mentioned, you wouldn't have understood this many years ago, and myself either. And I remember, you know, we've always had a good life. You know, there wasn't anything particularly wrong. Appearances looked good. But within myself, I can remember, you know, feeling, you know, there's something more. There's something more, not knowing what this something more was. You know, we had a beautiful family. We were happy. You know, like I said, appearances looked wonderful. But within myself, I needed to come to this place of recognition of who I am. And so it was coming to that awareness for myself and moving through healing and transformation that allowed me to release the suffering I didn't even know I was holding on to. I knew what I felt, but I couldn't put a name on it. And when I went through the process, it literally opened my eyes and my heart to who I am and allowed me to release the suffering I wasn't even aware of. And that need to feel there's something more, that was, you know, now I know this is more. This is what I have been seeking.
Yeah, as you say that, I'm reflecting upon how there's the difference perhaps between a good life and a great life, and that difference is often the more within ourselves that we are not in touch with completely, that we can work to get the better know, and that sometimes when people are feeling a sense of being unsettled, or that they may just be settling for less, and the less that they're talking about is often a lot of those good things. It isn't like they're not good things, but mm-hmm. they're just not all of what truly is available to them. And when they make that connection to divine truth and they really get fully connected to the great gifts of life, creating life, eternal life, and God within, that things even move on to a different plane, so to speak, within how they are experiencing themselves and the life around them and within them.
Right. That's what we're referring to as the great gifts, the four great gifts. It's also what Jesus was referring to when he spoke of the kingdom of heaven, that is right there within you. And coming into this kingdom within you awakens your heart, awakens you to the love that you are. And then, you know, then you feel that fulfillment. You know that you are part of the whole. You don't feel the separation. You're not living in the illusions any longer of unworthiness, or, you know, the lack feeling that you're not deserving of, or, you know, the beliefs that you may have been holding on to. These things are able to be released with the suffering.
I guess I want to move the conversation a little bit into where many people out there might feel they are, and perhaps in response to this whole description and discussion of suffering, and that is that most people may think, well, I'm not suffering, or they don't probably think that they are surviving. They just think I'm not in that place. I don't think I'm suffering. I'm surviving. And that's where the difference between understanding what Buddha would have referred to as dukkha dukkha and the other forms of suffering becomes important to better understand. Now, and that gets beyond the more, you know, people think that if you're suffering, it should be more immediate. It should be more specific. It should be more painful. It should be something that is more relentless and direct that would help me know that I truly am suffering. But that it isn't only that. There are other ways of suffering that we often experience that's more subtle. And yet it doesn't, just because we aren't aware of it, doesn't mean it isn't happening. It's happening. We're just not aware of it. And if you choose not to work with it or understand or to get to know it, that's your free will. That's your choice. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it may remove you from knowing what is more and what is greater within yourself and the life that you have.
Many people are quick to anger. And, you know, if this is something that you are living with, if you have, you know, if it's difficult for you to move through the day without, you know, feeling angry in some way, something in your life, driving your car, whatever it may be, this is something to look at. This is something to see. Why am I suffering within this anger? Because when you are angry, most people think when I'm angry, I'm projecting this out at the person or situation I'm angry at. But really, that energy of anger that you feel you need to express so often is having an effect upon you. And sure, we all will feel angry. We all need to express it at times, but to stay in it, to carry it with us, to feel we are deserving of anger, that's a form of suffering. And it's, you know, these things are important to see so that you can help yourself to heal and live the life that you were meant to live. And this is a life of wholeness, of joy. And wouldn't it feel so much better to move through your day feeling joy instead of letting this anger, you know, pop up anytime something might go wrong or something isn't the way you expected it to be. So it's important to see these things that you may not think of as suffering, but in some way, shape, or form, they are having an effect upon your life, and it doesn't have to stay that way.
One of the areas I want to talk about, and we're probably going to be coming up on a break soon, but it's something to think about, and I can know that there's probably a lot of people out there who may feel like, well, if I'm suffering but I don't know it, isn't that a good thing? Aren't you giving me a problem that I don't know I have, and that's a good thing? And that's the kind of those are the kind of realistic questions that people often have that I would like to talk a little bit about. We would like to talk about when we come back from our break. You've been listening to Two Voices.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Many of us are trying to move forward on our life path, both humanly and spiritually. No matter who we are, we all face a significant obstacle, our ego. Dr. Nick and Reverend Linda Martin will assist you on your life path through their books, Ego and Spirituality, The Consciousness of Ego Spiritualism, The Ego Unmasked, Meeting the Greatest Challenge of Your Life, and their forthcoming book, Two Voices, Ego and Spirit. Visit their websites at egoandspirituality.com and theegounmasked.com to learn more. You can also schedule an appointment with Reverend Linda for spiritual life coaching sessions, intuitive spiritual counseling, and spiritual healing. Contact Linda by going to lindammartin.net. You are worthy and deserving of living the life you were created to live. Visionary. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
You are listening to Two Voices. If you would like to connect with the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to spiritualawakening777@comcast.net. Now, back to Two Voices, Ego and Spirit.
Welcome back to Two Voices. Before the break, we raised the questions as to whether it's a good idea, perhaps, if a person is engaging in some level of suffering, but that if they remain oblivious to it, that some persons might say, well, you might be telling me that I'm suffering, but I don't know that I'm suffering. So if I don't know that I'm suffering, why do you need to tell me that? Why do you need to bring that to my awareness? Aren't I better in an ignorance is bliss kind of existence, rather than the one that you're trying to lead me toward? And it makes a lot of sense, that particular question. And I think a lot of people might feel that way, but they might feel that way partly because, well, if you don't have an answer to my suffering, or then maybe we're not going to be able to make this happen the way I would let you would want me to make it happen. And so that raises the question as to whether is it necessary for people to understand and come to terms with the suffering that they are living, even if it's a more subtle form of suffering and less immediate. And I guess my response to that is one that you in your own way know you're suffering. And by that, I mean that deep inside you, there's a part of you. There's the divine energy. There's the goddess within your being that already knows that you're suffering. It may not be something you're conscious of directly, but that it's there. The God within your being knows three things. That oftentimes the suffering we're talking about is a result of living beneath divine truth, which is that God is love, life, energy, and you. The unconscious you doesn't recognize this, but the deeper you connected to your divinity does. A lot of the suffering that we would talk about regarding egoic power, or vulnerability or flexibility issues has a lot to do with ways we live in our thoughts, words, and deeds connected to that energy that lead us to living beneath divine truth. And there's a part of us that does know it. We may be living at a distance from that awareness, but it's still within our being. There's a truth within our being that we do know. The more you are being impacted by this egoic imbalance issues, the more you're suffering. So, for example, the dictator, the bully, the narcissist, the authoritarian, the racist, the perfectionist, the sociopath, and many, many more people, roles that we talk about in our books, are suffering. They don't know they're suffering, at least on an egoic level, but they do know in a more deeper sense that there is something not right that's going on within their lives. In another way, your divinity also knows that you are removed from fully recognizing each of the great gifts that you have been given. You have the gift of life, but that's not being fully realized. You are often living without a sense of meaning and purpose and at a distance from truly knowing the abundance that's available. And deep inside, that awareness exists, that truth exists that you're at that distance from. The gift of creating life is not fully recognized if you're not creating with your mind and body the words and the thoughts and the deeds within your talents and abilities that would allow you to grow, would allow you to own your life and to have and know meaning and purpose and abundance available to you. There is a deeper part of you that already knows that. The gift of eternal life is not fully recognized if you spend your life existing and not living, making it from one day to the next, preoccupied only with your survival. There's a part of you that knows that's not the truth of your existence. And finally, the gift of God within is unrecognized. If you experience your life journey as unaccompanied by the presence of God within your being, God is always within your being. It's just that you may be at a distance from it, but that truth doesn't change. It's always there. And finally, your divinity recognized the many illusions at work in your life to bring it into suffering and survival. The illusions of separation, unworthiness, inequality, sensing all energy, invisibility, egoic control, and absolute human order. All of those are illusions that inside of you, you are aware of. You can become aware of. Let's put it, I should say that better, could become aware of, but they're there. It's just a matter of you getting to them as a result of moving your egoic energy into a healthier place.
Yes, the imbalanced egoic energy can lead you astray. But the soul within you knows the truth, tries to lead you to your divine essence. And it's difficult, very difficult for many to get through this imbalanced egoic energy that wants to protect you, that wants to lead you, to survive physically, but it leads you in ways that are fear-based. When we can let the ego or direct the ego or teach the ego to move into a place of healthiness and balance, it can then begin to work with us. But, owning our lives is so important. Taking responsibility for who we are and how we are moving through our lives, not giving away our power. But many of us have kind of been taught that we should give away our power due to life circumstances, due to many religions teach us this. They teach us that, we are mere humans and God is an entity separate from us. We are talking about the idea that we are one within God, that this energy of God, this energy of love and creation is within us, and it is available to us at all times. It's when we learn certain things that have been taught to us through other imbalanced egoic energies, our ego takes these things on as truth and tries to continue to work with us through these false beliefs and illusions. So it's up to us to feel within ourselves what feels right, which direction do we need to go? How do we want to live our life? Do we want to live it in feeling happiness and joy? Or do we want to stay in older energies that are not serving us, energies such as anger, excuse me, or guilt? Is many people have a difficult time with the energy of guilt, and they think this is something they need to hold on to show that they are a good human being by feeling guilty for something. And truly, the energy of guilt serves no one.
As we move forward in our discussion today, I was thinking about some of the specific ways, and we referred earlier to the roles that people can get into that reflect the egoic energy. And again, we cover that thoroughly in our books. And some examples of this would be with people with higher ego power. We talk about the narcissist. We talk about the ultra competitor or the bully. In the case of the narcissist, what is going on within that energy and the suffering that's going on within that energy is this understanding of love as a commodity. Mm-hmm. That love is something that this person desperately needs. They desperately seek to give it to themselves in ways that are often unhealthy. They seek it from others in ways that are unhealthy. They fail to offer this love to other people. And so when we talk about suffering in that regard, it's really the misuse of love. It's the misunderstanding of love. It's the misuse of love. It's the kinds of requirements that the narcissistic person begins to attach to love. That's what we mean by suffering. And oftentimes illusions such as unworthiness, in this case, the unworthiness of others, or inequality, feeling that one is better or greater than others, or the sense of separation and distance that often, you know, the person is experiencing from their neighbor. That is, that they cannot experience the sense of loving their neighbor in the same way that they would healthily love themselves. In fact, giving love to their neighbor would almost be experienced as giving away power. Power and love are intimately connected for the narcissist, and that's suffering. Now, they may not tell you they're suffering. They may feel like, hey, the world's great, and you know, they're really caught up in their self-absorption and you know, whatever else is happening in their lives that you know, makes them feel they're, I mean, famous people run into that issue, whether it's an artist or an athlete. A lot of times they're receiving a lot of adoration, but when they really look at this from a tighter perspective, they realize that a lot of this was false. It wasn't real. It was an illusion. It wasn't genuine, because a lot of this came from people that didn't truly know them and who they didn't truly know.
That's where that phrase, money can't buy happiness, has come from, because when a person finds themselves in those situations, you know, that happiness is not true happiness. But when we look at a person living in a specific role, such as a narcissist, we can see how this person may be living in the energy of suffering, even though they are not aware of it. And, you know, they are holding so many false beliefs, expectations, you know, these things within themselves that does not allow them to open their heart to their love and experience all that they can be.
You know, another example, I know we're coming up on our next break, but would be the bully, another role that we talk about, a person with higher ego power. And, you know, the bully may not in the moment think, well, I'm suffering, but when you have to resort to victimizing other people to feel empowered, when you use words or violate other people's rights or their enjoy their pain, that is suffering. Now, again, the bully might not know, they're not realize, because they're egoically unconscious. They can't see that for what it truly is. But it truly is weakness. All they're really doing is trying to masquerade with the illusion of being empowered through words and thoughts and behaviors of victimization of other persons. And they often seek the weakest among them in order to victimize them, to feel this sense of faulty empowerment. But in actuality, that is just another version of suffering connected to that particular egoic energy. And with that thought, we're going to go to our next break. You've been listening to Two Voices.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network. Many of us are trying to move forward on our life path, both humanly and spiritually. No matter who we are, we all face a significant obstacle, our ego. Dr. Nick and Reverend Linda Martin will assist you on your life path through their books, Ego and Spirituality, The Consciousness of Ego Spiritualism, The Ego Unmasked, Meeting the Greatest Challenge of Your Life, and their forthcoming book, Two Voices, Ego and Spirit. Visit their websites at egoandspirituality.com and theegounmasked.com to learn more. You can also schedule an appointment with Reverend Linda for spiritual life coaching sessions, intuitive spiritual counseling, and spiritual healing. Contact Linda by going to lindammartin.net. You are worthy and deserving of living the life you were created to live. The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Seek greater awareness.
You are listening to Two Voices. If you would like to connect with the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to spiritualawakening777@comcast.net. Now, back to Two Voices, Ego and Spirit.
Welcome back to Two Voices. We've been talking about the various roles that often reflect the suffering and survival that's taking place within a person's life. We just got done talking a little bit about the narcissist and the bully. A few more before we end our work and with program today would be an example. It would be the ultra competitor. The ultra competitor is a higher ego powered person who obviously is very competitive. Some people think of type A personality as reflective of that, but they often approach competition in a very dark kind of way, in a destructive kind of way, to the point where the people whom they are competing with aren't just their neighbors. They often become their enemies, and they perceive them in a way that suggests that I can't like them. I can't accept them as fellow kindred spirits who are seeking to achieve just the way I'm seeking to achieve, but feel a need to remove them from the competition and have a difficult time accepting their compatriots in the way that would be with a loving kind of way. They actually begin to fear them, and they often become angry with them. And that fear and anger that is reflective of suffering. Anytime we are living within fear that's unneeded, unnecessary, or living unneeded anger within a relationship, whether it's with our competitors or with our loved ones, that's a reflection of suffering also. Sometimes people live in a role we refer to as the underachiever. This is a person who basically has come into a lower ego power energy in which they often kind of back off. They kind of are fearful a lot of times of being a failure as well as being successful. Fear of failure, fear of success are both reflections of suffering. A suffering in which we are unable to make use of many of the talents and abilities that we have. It's as if they are put on the put away, and we either hide them or we don't want to know about them. We don't want to use them because we become fearful of using them and perhaps taking something away from somebody else, their success, their achievement. So we live in that place of underachievement, and that's a reflection of suffering. Some people are the lower ego flexibility individuals who live in roles connected to that energy. Some great examples of that would be the racist. The racist is a very angry human being. They, you know, have gotten to a place where they look upon certain other human beings in a very dark and negative kind of way, failing to recognize everything about those other persons. They can only see the things they want to see and live with that as a sort of truth that reflects their ability to know this person on the whole, and which they can't. So we see the makings of suffering within the racist who has to live at a distance. The person who's living in the racist role doesn't recognize the love, life, and energy that God is, both within themselves, although that's there, but they're living at a distance from it. But they often can't see it in that other person, the person with whom they are attacking on a racist basis in their lives. We see that the same way with people who are paranoid. The paranoid person is also living in a very lower ego flexibility energy, an energy which often leads them to great distrust. And that distrust of anybody and everybody is reflective of suffering, you know, because they are living at a distance from being able to recognize, again, the love, the life, the energy available not only within themselves, but also within the other persons that you know, most people out there are very good, intelligent, and well-meaning persons, somebody they don't have to be afraid of, but they are afraid of. And that's the suffering that's being reflected in that person's life. And there's just a few more, because I know we're running low on time, but I'm thinking about the perfectionist and how oftentimes some people with higher ego vulnerability begin to strive to make things perfect, whether it's their work or whether it's their appearance or whatever aspect of their life they are seeking to make perfect. And that's a reflection of suffering, the suffering that doesn't recognize the difference between the imperfect nature of our humanity, which should be accepted in a healthy kind of way and worked with, rather than in effect rejected. That is the rejection of their imperfection with their perfection. That is the making of their suffering. And they become entrapped in that kind of approach, that role, that approach to life that reflects that type of energy that the person is in. Some people are into the overachiever role, where they are working very hard to achieve. And the purpose of the achievement is to, in effect, prove something, sometimes to somebody else that who oftentimes it can be a mother or a father who was unapproving or communicated negative messages about who they were or their acceptability. So they work overtime. They work very, very, very hard to accomplish things with the idea that this will prove something. That effort is suffering. It isn't necessary. It isn't required. If you can love and like and accept yourself as you are while seeking to grow, then your suffering ends. But for those individuals, a lot of times the suffering never ends. They do something well. They even maybe do very well, but it only lasts for about 15 minutes. And then they're back into that mode, that energy of I have to do something more. Or I have to do something else. I have to make something better. And as a result of that, they are entrapped in that egoic energy, failing to recognize and like and love themselves in ways that are healthy. I guess the last person I want to refer to is the sadist. And this is a person with lower ego vulnerability. This is a person who oftentimes has a history of being victimized. And as a result of their victimization, their answer to the victimization is to become the victimizer, meaning that they make an effort to bring pain to other people. And the more pain they can bring into the lives of other people with their words and with their thoughts and with their deeds, the more they can reinforce unconsciously the idea that they aren't a victim anymore. Yet they truly are still the victim. The victim and the victimizer remain the same. And that is the suffering that they are often within that they aren't fully aware of, but can come to know and understand and ultimately resolve as a result of their efforts to awaken egoically and spiritually.
This information is all so important. And as each one of us allows ourselves to experience healing, to raise our awareness and come into a place of balance and harmony within ourselves, we will then affect the whole world. Let's create a sacred space together at this time by moving into our heart center. Just breathe. Just be. Here within your heart, just relax and let your heart energy open. Become aware of the love that is already present within your heart. Let go into your divine essence of love. You are divinity. You are eternity. You are enough exactly as you are right now. Breathe deeply now. Relax into this sacred space. Allow your love to flow from your heart and invite the angels now to come into your heart. Feel God's loving angels flowing into you, filling your heart with their love. Their unconditional love for you is so great. Feel this love flowing through you and surrounding you, and let your love flow. Feel the support of the angels with you now, and give to the angels all of your suffering. You can name this suffering if you want, but the angels know. Just release it. Feel the angels lifting the heaviness from you now. Feel and see all suffering you have been carrying now being lifted to the light. Feel yourself becoming lighter and freer as you release what no longer serves you. You are a light for the world. Let your light shine. Let it shine brightly and be of service today and every day in all that you do. May peace be with you now and always. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us today on Two Voices, Ego and Spirit. Until next time, remember to listen for your two voices.
For joining us for Two Voices. Please join Reverend Linda and Dr. Nick Martin again next Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Seventh Wave. And until next time, remember to listen for your Two Voices.